to that. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. We're going to read a few verses here. Paul, in the text just prior to this, he gives all of his credentials in chapter number 10. Shouldn't have to, but he does. And but he kind of summarizes in saying that in verse number 1, that they had to deal with that, and that he had to give his credentials. He shouldn't to, but it was worth it. And then he tells us why. And I want us to read a few verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. It says, "Would to God you could bear with me a little while, a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, a lot of burdens, a lot of different things going through this morning, and Lord, all of us have things on our heart, and Father, I just pray for this next few moments, you'd, Lord, take all that, please, and put it aside. Lord, help us to be encouraged this morning from your word. I do pray that, Lord, you just please speak to our hearts. And Lord, again, if there's anyone in this auditorium that's not saved, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, may they leave this place knowing they're going to heaven. Father, I pray for believers today that, Lord, you just please encourage our hearts and help us. Lord, we need you. Lord, our hearts is very heavy for a lot of different things and situations. Just pray that, Lord, you just please work now. Lord, just have your will and your way, and we love you so much. And open your word now to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Paul shares his heart, and he says there in verse 2 and 3 what he's writing about, and that his heart's desire is that the folks that he's writing to would have a relationship with Christ, and that Christ, as the bride, bridegroom, would be presented a bride that is pure and holy. And that would be us and those who would come to know the truth of things. And he goes on in the next few verses, in verse number 4, to say there is no other Jesus. There is no other gospel. He says there in verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus," this is why he gave his credentials, because there were other people that were trying to come in and bring lies and things that were not true. And he said, "If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles." And he goes on to explain some things, but he says, listen, if anybody comes in and preaches another Jesus, there is no other Jesus. If anyone comes in and preaches another gospel, there is no other gospel. That is the only plan. And he says it's really simple. His prayer is that people wouldn't get corrupted, their mind corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And the devil has some simple lies, but they're powerful and they're terrible. But the truth of things is there is simplicity in Christ Jesus. The message that Paul had, and the same one that we preached this morning, it's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible teaches, and say, why is he so adamant about that, about there is no other Jesus and there is no other gospel? Because there is no way that anyone will ever get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Now, that's not my opinion. In John chapter 14, Jesus said those words. He said, "I am," Jesus said in verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Right. He is the only way that we can get to heaven. And so if anyone comes in and preaches another Jesus, and there's a lot of that false teaching out there. I saw some yesterday. They were passing out their material and for their religious organization. And I'm sure they're nice people. I'm sure that they have good intentions. But if they believe what they're sharing, they're not saved, because they believe that Jesus is just a man. They believe that Jesus was a good prophet, but he's not God. And if he's not God, then he could not be our sacrifice for sins. Because if he's just a man, then he had the same problem you and I had if he was just a man. I'd be very careful, Mom and Dad. I saw a book, and it's from Bible's First Stories, and it's a book about, and the title of the book is Jesus' Baptism. If you turn to about page number 6, it says in that little booklet for children, it says that Jesus approached John the Baptist and asked to be saved so his sins could be forgiven. He is perfect and without sin. That's why he's able to be the sacrifice for our sins. He alone is the only one that's ever walked on this earth in perfection and holiness. See, all of us, while we might try to be good people, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, all of us, the Bible says in Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, the prerequisite for heaven is the glory of God. It is the righteousness of God. It is the holiness of God. And I don't care how good a person you may try to be, I don't care how good a person that we may strive to be, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then the Bible says, so the wages of our sin is death. Because of sin, there's death. Seems to be dealing a lot with death in a lot of people's lives. Death is terrible. Hard. The reason there's death is because there's sin. The Bible describes the second death. It's appointed unto men once to die, because this world is temporary. This is not what life's all about. This world is just temporary. It's appointed, Hebrews says, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, judgment. You see, there is this one death we're all going to face. The Lord doesn't come back. Eventually, you will walk by a casket, and there this body will lay. It's appointed unto men once to die. But the second death is not for, that's not what God wants. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the second death is the lake of fire. God doesn't want anyone to go there. Praise the Lord. The lake of fire is eternal damnation. So God, because he loves us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus was sent here to die for our sins, because he's the only one that was ever on this earth that could die for our sins. Because I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, everyone before us has been a sinner, everyone around us is a sinner, anyone that will ever be born into this world will be a sinner. But Jesus, he is God. God sent him, and he was born of a virgin, which is really important, because he was not from man's seed. It was a miracle of God. In his life, his blood was no ordinary blood. It was the blood, the perfect, unblemished, holy, righteous blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he went to the cross, his blood was shed for us. And he died on that cross because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ do not have that second death, the lake of fire. Praise the Lord. He gives to us eternal life. And that is life and glory forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our loved ones who have believed on him. And what a day. One day. We will. Glorious day coming. But he had to die for our sins. When he was on that cross and his blood was being shed for you and I, that blood, by the way, is presented before a holy God in heaven. That blood still speaks on our behalf. I get to go to heaven because I've put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. I recognized I'm a sinner. I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I deserve hell, but I believe Jesus died for my sins. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You see, on that cross, no one ever killed Jesus. The Bible says, he gave up the ghost. He laid down his life. At just the thought, 10,000s of angels could have came down and one angel destroyed the most powerful nation in the world, right? Imagine 10,000, right? But he didn't, because he willingly died for our sins. Because the wages of sin is what? And only he could make that payment for us all. They laid him in a grave because he died for our sins. He suffered the penalty for us. But in 3 days, he arose from the grave. See, why is that so important? Because had he stayed in a grave, death would have won. And apparently his salvation, his payment wouldn't have been enough. But my friend, it was enough. And he arose from the grave, showing that he paid for our sins and he conquered our sins. Now, if anyone ever comes and preaches a different Jesus than that, they're not of God. If they had come and preach a different gospel, what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15 spells it out very quickly. The gospel is the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The good news that he died for our sin. And he arose to show he had conquered our sin. The fact that he is alive. 1 Corinthians concludes in chapter 15 with, O death, where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? Why is that written? Because he arose from the grave. And I love Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 8 that says this. Jesus speaks to John. This is after the resurrection. And he says, I am he that was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. But then he says in the same verse, and have the keys of hell and of death. See, death no longer has any authority. Hell doesn't have the authority. Jesus does. And I'm thankful that our sins have been paid for. And Paul refers to that in saying that there is no other. And he says there in our text in verse number 3, look at it with me real quick. He says, after saying this, he says, but I fear. You see, everything that we just said, these things are true. He said, but I fear that as the serpent beguiled Eve, so your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity, that is in Christ. He feared that the devil, in the same way that he beguiled Eve, or that he deceived Eve, that people would be tricked in the same way. I spoke in my Sunday school class this morning that the devil, he is a liar, which means that he's talking a lot. And what he says, they're lies. And he speaks and he tries to deceive people. He'll do such a thing even this morning for someone who may not know that they're saved. The devil will speak in that heart and say, ah, you don't need to get saved. Don't listen to him. There's other ways. Everybody's just going down their own road. Everyone's going to end up in the same place. Not according to Jesus. He said he is the only way. He'll lie and say, well, you got plenty of time. Go live your life and then later come on back to these things. There are so many people that are in hell today who believe that lie. Bible says, what is our life? It is even a vapor. Here, it's gone. Life is so fragile. Paul said, I fear that minds would be corrupted. But it's interesting to me that he said, in the same way that Satan, he deceived Eve. He said through, it says there in that verse, his subtlety. Now, that word means sneaky, liar, deceiver, trickery. There's only three people, if you will, in the Bible that's called people that were filled with subtlety. The only three people are the devil, here in this passage of Scripture and in Genesis, a harlot in Proverbs chapter 7, and interesting enough, Amnon's friend named Jonadab. All three of them had evil wishes and evil desires and evil intentions. But Paul uses here, says, lest just as Satan did it to Eve, people would be corrupted from the simplicity in Christ. And I guess the more I read that this week, the more I thought, and I've meditated on this thought, that there are probably some who may be sitting in here this morning or would listen to this sermon that Satan is corrupting your mind. Believing lies. A lot of times he doesn't just do it, you know, and just outright blasphemy. Very deceiving in the way he presents things. So whatever he did with Eve, he still does today, right? And it brought fear in Paul's life that people he was speaking to would be deceived in the same way. So let's go glance at that and just examine this real quick. Go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter number 3. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God creates everything. God is the creator. Everything that you see in this world, all right, God created. Every mountain, every tree, every flower, every cell, God created. Sin has ruined a lot of things and hurt a lot of things. But the world that God created, every time he stopped and looked at it, he said, it is good. And when he created man in his own image, he said, it is very good. And things were good in the Garden of Eden. Adam was formed. He named all the animals. God then formed a wife for him and Eve. But in Genesis chapter 3, we read, again, just what Paul referenced. And glance at this with me. It says in verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. That word again. Which the Lord God had made. And he, the devil, said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, God had given Adam and Eve everything they needed for life. And in the middle of this garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as the Bible refers to it. It was the one tree that God said, now do not eat of that tree. Now, Eve would add a little bit more to it. I can't even touch it. Which I would recommend not touching it either, right? If God said not to eat it, probably just stay away from it, right? But he's adding a little bit. But okay, why did God even put that there? Because understand this, God didn't create us as robots. If you and I were created and forced to have a relationship with him, that is not love. That is slavery. So glad I'm married. Love my wife. I asked her to marry me right there. But when I asked her to marry me, I had everything all planned out. It's a very romantic thing. If you need advice, young man, I'll tell you, all right? But when I asked her to marry me, it was her choice. God said, will you marry me? And pulled a gun out and said, yes or no, right? Well, that's abuse. That's slavery. That's not love. She chose yes, because we desire to have a relationship with one another. So God made man with a free will. You and I have a choice. God wants everyone to say yes to him and have a relationship with him and go to heaven one day, but that's your choice. Some people say, if God's so great, why does he send people to hell? God made a way so everyone could go to heaven. Matter of fact, if you're sitting in this auditorium and you die and go to hell, it's not because God didn't want you to go to heaven. It's not because Christ didn't die for your sins. Because you said no. You condemn yourself by rejecting the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God wants you to have that today. And so Eve had that choice. Adam had that choice. Trust me, God says. Don't eat of that. It says in verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, doing good and evil. And in the next verse, the woman, she disobeyed the Lord and sinned. She took that fruit. Adam chose to sin and ate the fruit. Immediately, they both realized that they were guilty. They were shamed. God, matter of fact, I'll finish this story and get back to the message. God then came down to the garden as he did every day and said, Adam, where art thou? You see, every day God would come and he'd speak to Adam. Adam, Adam, yes, God. And they would fellowship with each other, and him and Eve and God would rejoice with each other, because that's why God created us, is to have a relationship and fellowship with him. And day after day, they enjoyed that sweet communion and fellowship. But when they sinned, all of a sudden, they realized, they looked down, and truly, they realized for the very first time, they were naked. They were ashamed. Because sin brought evil thoughts. And they went, and they all of a sudden, Adam! He looked at Eve, we got to hide. For the very first time, they hid from God. They went tried to hide themselves, and we can't let God see us this way. Adam, where art thou? God knew where Adam was, because he knows everything, but he wanted Adam to realize, what are you doing? Adam ran, him and Eve, they got some fig leaves, and they tried to sew them together and tie them together and cover their nakedness. They came before God, humbled, shamed, convicted. God said, what have you done? God knew. Adam pointed to Eve and blamed her. Eve pointed at the serpent, blamed him. God had to show them that that was their choice. They're the ones that chose to sin. But God said, and this is wonderful, he would take care of the serpent, prophesy to him, do what you've done, but one day, all you've done will be corrected and changed. And he takes this innocent animal. See, nothing had ever died. Nothing had ever cried. Nothing had ever bled. The world was perfect, and God took this innocent animal, and he made Adam and Eve watch as that animal was sacrificed. Blood began to, how horrific that'd be. We're very used to violence in the society we live in. But if you never see anything like that, all of a sudden the blood of this animal is being shed out, and they would probably look in horror. What is happening? What are you doing? That's awful. I don't want to look at it. No, you must see it. And that animal was sacrificed there on that altar. And he taught them that one day, Adam, you see, this animal did nothing. It's just a picture and an illustration. The innocent has to die. And just like this little animal, its blood is shed in complete innocence. So one day, the Lamb of God will come, and in complete innocence, he will pay for all of man's sins. And he took the skins of that animal and said, here. And he made coats and fig leaves. What man does in their own works cannot cover our sins. It's not works that we do. And God took and made coats out of the skins of this animal and gave them and covered their shame and covered their guilt. Adam and Eve would have children. They would teach their children the same thing, saying, listen, we're sinners. Because of sin, there's death. But one day, God promised the Lamb of God would come and die for all of man's sins. And so what we're going to do, son, Cain, what we're going to do, Abel, is that we're going to recognize that we believe this, and they would take an animal, and that animal would be sacrificed ever so often, saying, Lord, we believe one day the Lamb of God will come. One day Cain said, this is stupid. I can do something better than that. I'm a great farmer, and he had the best produce he could possibly grow, and he brought it. And he said, and Abel, his brother, laid that sacrifice there, and that blood began to flow, and that animal was sacrificed as a picture of innocence dying for the sins of those who are guilty. Cain said, well, look what I did, God. I want to give you something better. And God said, I'll not accept man's works. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. Not because one was being compared to sacrifices were not what was important. It was his faith that he believed that Jesus would come one day. Man, you see this pictured through the sacrifices of the Jews. You see this pictured there in Egypt when God delivered them from Egypt and the plagues and the last plague when the blood of the animal was placed on the doorpost there and the death angel passed by. You can see it through so many Abraham and Isaac and so many other things in the Bible. But it all culminates about 2,000 years ago when John the Baptist is baptizing and all of a sudden Jesus approaches. He's in the middle of preaching, John the Baptist is. I mean, he's dressed in camel hair, eating locusts with honey in his beard. And he says, y'all need to repent! Your sins are condemning you! And he looked at a bunch of people who were very religious and said, you're proud in the works you're doing, but that doesn't get you to heaven! There is one coming who is going to die for our sins. And all of a sudden, dust is kicking up right down the road. And in the middle of his sermon, he stops and looks and goes, behold, the Lamb of God. The one that has been talked about, the one that has been promised, he's here! Jesus would go a few years from that point to the cross and die for our sins. That, my friends, is what God did for us. What did Satan do to Eve that got her thinking off? And obviously, Paul says that he fears it's the same thing that people do today, right? I'm going to give them to you. We're going to pray. Number one, look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. Listen to me just a few minutes. Number one, he got her to doubt God's goodness. He got her to doubt God's goodness. I just got a simple message today. Nothing fancy, no alliteration. He got her to doubt God's goodness. Verse 1, he said, yea, in the middle of verse 1, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God say you can't have everything? Well, yeah. What's God holding back on you? Well, what? Why wouldn't God want you to have it all? And he got her to start thinking that maybe God is holding back. What is God not wanting her to enjoy? There's so many people that live their life today and they hear the truth. They know the truth. They've been taught the truth. But that they won't still yet come to the Lord. They won't repent of their sin. They won't ask the Lord to forgive them. They won't surrender to the Lord because in the back of their mind somewhere they're like, yeah, but if I serve God, I'm not going to have a great time. If I serve God, I won't be able to enjoy life. And the devil has convinced so many people of the same lie that he corrupted the mind of Eve with, that God's holding back from you. My friend, God is the only things that you'll be missing, you'll be thankful you missed. And take it right now to the bedside of a 20-some-year-old girl. Grew up in a Christian home. She knows the truth. She knows the truth. She's been taught the truth. Yet she's ran away from it. And she's literally dying at young 20-some years old. That she's literally dying because she's destroyed her body with alcohol and drugs. Because some point, sitting in a church just like this one, being raised in the same Sunday school classes just like we just had, with the same Bible that's in your lap, Something in her mind said, yeah, but what am I missing out on? Man, if I do all this, one time had a family sit in my office and said, we're leaving. I said, why? We want our kids to enjoy, and they started listing some of these things they wanted to enjoy that as God's children we shouldn't be involved in. They started listing them and said, and I said, well, show me in the Bible where I'm wrong. And the answer was, you know more about the Bible than we do. We're not going to get into a Bible debate. Time out, first of all. Shouldn't you maybe listen to counsel? we're not going to debate. And they said this, we don't want our kids to miss out on these. My heart broke for them because I knew. And I'm not bragging, I'm not excited about this. It breaks my heart to tell you this. That man and his wife are not together now. Two different ways. Kids, if I told you all the things those children have been through in the last 15 years, literally Fox News tragedies that the whole world heard. I'm not making it up. Fox News tragedies. Heartaches and heartaches. Yeah, there's probably parents in this room who's like, well, I don't want my kids to miss out on some of this stuff. Yes, you do. You say, I want them to have a good time. I'm having a dandy time. Man, I'm thrilled. I'm happy. I got peace. I got joy. Man, I wake up every day serving God's wonderful. You know, I say it to the teens all the time, and people all the time are like, you're so prideful. There's no pride in this whatsoever. It's all God. It's all God. Everything I'm about to tell you is all God. Because me, I'd mess it up in a heartbeat, right? All glory to God. But I look at the kids, and I'm just like, what is it about my life you don't want? I'm just being honest. You know, I'm not rich, but my bills are paid. I got a wife. We love each other. We adore each other. I have three children. I love them. They love me. And I was telling this in chapel the other day. I was like, I went to Rome last year. I didn't have to pay for it. Isn't that awesome? Some of you are staring at me, right? You didn't pay for it either, right? The church, the missionaries, because the 2 years ago I was over there whenever I was, and my dad passed away. And I had to cut that trip short and come back. I was preaching to the missionaries, and all the missionaries, those missionaries, they come back next year. We'll pay for it. God's amazing. God is so good. He does so many good things for us. I've never once gone to bed wondering where my wife was. I have to deal with life like you do, but God's so good. And it's all God. Yet there's so many people, yeah, but if I totally surrender to God, I'm going to be miserable. I'm not. The only times I am miserable is when I disobey God. God is amazing. I mean, you just serve God. You say, well, I don't want to miss out on them parties. Yeah, that whole liver cirrhosis thing is awesome when they get older and they're drunkards. Just being honest. You know, I've not had to worry. We're getting phone calls about drunk driving. And thankful for that. Not perfect. A lot of issues. But God is good. And I'm telling you, the devil whispers in people's mind and he begins to corrupt our minds. Paul wasn't talking to a lost world about their minds being corrupted. He was talking to the people sitting in the church at Corinth. That your minds will be corrupted in the same way that the devil corrupted Eve's mind. And the very first thing he did is, what's God holding back from you? And there's some teenager sitting in this room. You're just all upset. What's God holding back on you? God's holding back on me. I'll never be happy like they are. They're out there at 10 years old going to dances with their boyfriends and girlfriends. I don't get to do any of that stuff. Praise God.
Amen. That's right.
Someday when you have a marriage and happily married and, you know, you're giving your heart to this person and the two of you, you know, have a love for each other and you're not giving your heart to 900 different people and have a bunch of past that you're trying to cover and keep hidden, you'll thank God too for mom and dad that kept you from those things.
Right.
Praise the Lord for these things. There's some sitting in this room, the devil's starting to corrupt your mind, saying, what is God holding back from you? And he begins to affect your thoughts. When God only has good things for you. Second thing he did to deceivers in verse number 4 in Genesis 3, and the serpent said unto him, she said, if we do this, we're going to die, because that's what God told him. The day that you eat it, ye shall surely die. And she said this in verse number 3. She says, lest ye die, God said. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You want her to get her to doubt God's goodness. And number 2, he would corrupt her mind by getting her to doubt God's word. Well, that's not true. What God said isn't true. He tries to get people to doubt the word of God. And that affects us in this church, because there's some, maybe you're here today and you've never been saved and boring your heart right now. You're like, well, maybe I do need to get saved. I need to accept Christ as my Savior. I don't want to go to hell. And the devil says, stop it. You're not going to go to hell. The liar.
Amen. That's right.
That's not all true. I've tried not to tell you any Travis Burke philosophy. I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says today. I can be wrong, but this book isn't wrong. And the Word of God's true. And that's what God says. Oh, you don't need to. No, but the devil corrupts our mind, getting us to doubt. How it also affects us sitting in this room is this, believer, did God really save you? The answer is yes. You go to God in faith, he saved you. But the devil corrupts people's minds. Well, did he really? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Well, I heard so-and-so say, who cares what so-and-so says? The Bible says. Amen? Don't get corrupted by doubting the word of God. Ah, there is no hell. Jesus said there is. There's no such thing as heaven. Jesus says there is. Once he saves you, are you forever saved? According to Jesus, yes. And let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible says he that believeth in me shall not perish. If it was possible for you to believe in God and then eventually perish, then Jesus lied there. And if he lied, throw the whole thing out. But he didn't lie. Once you come to God, you are forever his. Amen? But the devil tries to get us to doubt God's word. But you can't have security. Or is he really coming back? Oh, he is coming back. Is he really there with me? Oh, my friend, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But the devil tries to get people out of church by getting you to doubt God's goodness and to doubt God's word. And third thing he did was this, to doubt God's purpose. It says in verse number 5, listen to Satan's words here. He says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods. And what's he saying there? Well, saying a lot, but one of the things he's saying is this. Oh, you know why, God? You know why? You know why? Hey, Eve. You know why God really doesn't want you to have this? He didn't want you as good as him. He wants to keep you at a distance. You'll be like him if you eat this. Don't. Eve. God's real motivation is this. It's not to protect you. Protect himself. He wants to keep you at arm's length. He don't want you to be like him. He believed it. And begin to doubt what's God's real purpose, motivation. And the devil corrupted her mind. And let me tell you this, and we'll pray. The devil wants to do the same thing in our minds too. God just wants to control you, right? God, he doesn't want to have a relationship with you. When the truth of the matter is that everything I've told you about today is for one purpose. And that one purpose that God did all of these things is to find someone like James, and the God in heaven, the great God, the almighty God, the perfect God, the holy God, the magnificent God, the creator of the world, all-powerful, all-knowing. I mean, I can't give you enough great adjectives to describe how wonderful he is and how much greater he is than us. But that God does all of this for one reason. Come here, James. So that you can know I love you. That's why God does this. So God can walk with you and talk with you and help you. And when you're down, God says, I'm right here. When you're hurting, I understand. When you need help, I will be that arm. When you need wisdom, I will help you. God says, I will not leave you. He didn't want you to be at some distance. He goes, no, no, come here. That's the God. He wants a relationship with you. That relationship begins by trusting in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. And the moment you believe that, James did that years ago, and that moment James became God's child.
Amen.
What an awesome thing. A child of God. He's your father. You know what that means? That means, you know, when Hope looks at me yesterday and says, hey, Dad, I'm going over to Caleb's party. Can I have a little money? Might need to buy some. I was like, yeah, here you go. Right? Now she brought it all back. That was impressive. Right? Yeah. How could she just walk up and ask? She knew her father loves her. She has a need. She knew her dad cared and would do everything he could to take care of it. That's the way God, that mighty God, wants us to have a relationship with him. Devil says, no, he doesn't. Devil's a liar. And Satan, through subtlety, twisting things around, corrupts our minds. And Paul said, I fear that there's people sitting in church right now that just like the devil did this to Eve, he's doing this to your life. From the simplicity that's in Christ, and the simplicity is this, he loves you. He sent his son to die for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. You can have salvation and eternal life and a relationship with the Father in heaven just by believing on his son. What else? No, that's it. That's what he wants. It's the devil that tries to blind us from that. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you.